Now, generally, as a rule, I try not to play anything with cuss words because I just don't know where people land with that. But when there were no kids in here, I was like, I'm sure we'll get over it. Because I've heard how most of you guys talk, and it would be oddly hypocritical to suddenly develop a problem with cussing. Yeah. Yeah. So I absolutely love that scene in that film just because it's like the special forces that have such a unique mission and purpose. Oddly unique, right? Like, it's sort of, well, I remember watching the film and going, who came up with this plan, right? Like, in everything happening in Western Europe and the invasion plan, it's like, hey, I got an idea. Let's just take like 20 Jews and just terrorize Nazis. We're just gonna strike. That's the plan, like, you know? And so, but it would, as you watch the film, it's so extraordinarily effective. As kind of like a funny caveat, I saw that film a couple of times in theaters, and one of the times I went with a friend of mine who's from Puerto Rico, and we're sitting there in that scene where Hitler dies, because these guys get Hitler. He's like, oh my gosh, that's how Hitler died? And spoiler alert, Hitler dies in history. Like, and Hitler dies in this film. But does he? You're correct. You've been watching the Joe Rogan podcast. So, but he was kind of, he looked over and he's like, dude, I didn't know that that's how Hitler died. I was like, this is a fictional movie. That is not how Hitler dies. He's like, I'm from Puerto Rico. Okay, your point? Like, it's still history. Like, you are unaware of one of the largest wars or conflicts to have ever happened and how it ended. But one of the things that I do enjoy about this film is just the idea of pursuing purpose, right? As a backdrop or a thematic theme throughout this particular film, you have a couple of main characters that each have sort of purpose-driven directives that they're really trying to kind of go after and seek, right? And in this eccentric character, Brad Pitt does an amazing job at sort of organizing a group of people for a very specific task. And I thought it was a good illustration of what we're going to cover today as we move into the rest of the year. A couple weeks back, my wife and I sat down and we were just kind of sitting and talking about sort of the vision for our marriage, the vision for our kids, the vision for our personal lives. And as odd as that sounds, or maybe as sterile as that might be, we realized, like, we read this Danny Silk book in which Danny addresses the issue of what is the purpose for your marriage. Kilo, what's the name of the book? Keep Your Love On. Yeah, Keep Your Love On. Kylo. Yeah, Kylo. If I said Kylo and then people went Star Wars, it would have been much harder to backtrack from there. As you read that book, like, one of the big challenges that they say, that they present is, like, you really should have a goal for the things that you do or an objective, because when there is stress or strain, that objective is what's going to clarify direction. And so in our marriage, for Alicia and I, it's moving closer towards connection. Like, we want to be more connected. And with that objective or that mission in mind, then when we make decisions throughout our week or our day, we keep that in perspective. It's like, well, we're not going to get very close if we have people over the house all the time and barely share with one another. We're not going to get very close if we lean on our relationships outside of our marriage more than each other, right? For our kids, we sat down, you know, with Adeline and kind of had with her in mind. We thought, you know, by the end of the year, we want her to be good at reading and enjoy reading. And so we kind of came up with some ideas of how we can stimulate that. With Story, we wanted her to pursue her dream of being in gymnastics. So we looked at her finances and kind of came up with some of those things. So the point in expressing all that is saying how often we sort of live life and we hope that by accident we'll bump into our destiny or the fulfillment of our calling. Like, if we just hang out long enough, it'll just kind of appear. And that's not to suggest that some things don't work out that way, but I think 90% of life is the pursuit of the things that we want and creating space for those things. And the fact is that each and every one of us, when we really want something, we go after that, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, right? Like, I'm sure each and every one of us can think of a time where there was something we shouldn't want that we went after, and no one could tell us otherwise, right? And so it is a part of our human condition that we pursue the things that we purpose ourselves to do. And when we purpose ourselves to do those things, it becomes much more difficult for us to sort of derail in a separate direction. And so at the end of 2018, we all kind of sat down and kind of asked the question, specifically when we found out Laura was going to stay in Tennessee. We started asking the question, do we continue moving forward as a community? Do we, you know, what are we going to decide moving forward. What is our personal visions, and what does that look like for our community? So we took that weekend off in January and all just kind of sat down and asked that key question. What's the vision? What's the direction? What are the objectives? What are the goals? Are we really going to pursue this thing? Are we going to have measurable goals in which we can think critically, we can examine ourselves, our community, and our community can be invited into that process to build a more effective community, a more effective church. And what I mean by that is it's extraordinarily boring to show up for 2 hours every week and sit there and stare, right? Like, I don't want to listen to anybody for an hour unless I'm going to have my computer open and I'm playing a video game. Like, I don't want to listen. You know what I mean? Like, that is difficult to, like, be a part of something like that. And it becomes even more difficult when you don't know why you go and you don't know what's the point. Other than you're a Christian and this is what you do, right? Anything that functions that way will very quickly fall apart and will produce very little fruit. Not that it won't produce fruit, but it will produce very little fruit. So we began to kind of ask that question of just, what's our goal? What are we going after? What are we pursuing? And then how do we mold the way we do ministry? How do we increase participation? How do we challenge people to pursue the things that God has set in their hearts, and how do we get on the same page of what we believe, and what I mean by the same page, not that we'll all think the same thing, but that we're very familiar with what the expectation is for ourselves. And so we came up with some stuff that I'm here to share with you guys tonight. But before we display it, I have a couple of questions I wanted to ask you guys. And I do want feedback. Like, these aren't rhetorical questions. When you close your eyes and imagine being a part of the perfect church, what critical features that are close to your heart do you see? So if you close your eyes and you imagine, if I'm going to go to church, what's the ideal perfect church for me? Like, what's something that I would enjoy, that I would go, I'm excited to go to that or be part of that?
It's a strong women's group.
Strong women's group?
It's a strong men's group.
Strong men's group.
It's a growth opportunity.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, he's asking if I can clarify. Okay, so strong women gathering together is what I'm hearing. Okay, yeah. Critical questions, yeah. And as well as men. Okay. Men as well, strong men's group. Growth opportunities in the church. Cool. More value in the marketplace. Define that. Define that further. No. He throws a chair. I'll say back what I heard, and if you can define it better. So just that they can see it. Oh, that's good and that's cool. So participation. Okay. Educating, teaching. Yeah. So active training, active. Yeah, that's good. Anything else? Outreach in the community. Okay. Define that further. Everyone's going to hate me by today, but I mean, really, like, because I think we use broad terms and getting to the heart of it. That might look different for you versus Mercy. So, Mercy, for you, what's that look like? Yeah. So when you say outreach, you mean outside of the church or you mean inside? Okay. Yeah, so providing a support system both within the context of the community and outside it. Okay. Kim, when you say outreach, what do you mean? Evangelism. Yeah, those are the clarity. Yeah, it becomes critical. We use these terms. I've noticed that before where someone says something and I begin to describe it, and I'm like, wait, what did you say? Like, you know, so you evangelism and missions. Okay, when you say missions, what do you mean? Evangelism. When you... Local and abroad. And when you say evangelism, do you mean building relationships or sharing the gospel?
Building relationship in
the gospel. Okay, yeah. Because I know some people do evangelism outside the context of relationship. They just literally just like, here's the gospel. I'm not here to be your friend. I mean, really, you can tell. It's like, oh my God, my life was changed. Where'd they go? Yeah. Which, by the way, I had such a funny experience. Yeah. Anyway, well, maybe later, at a later time. I'm trying to let her prioritize my stories. I've got so many of them. Yeah, there's no conflict of whether one or the other can't be done, yeah. Just simply saying, let's get to the heart of what people really want. Jason. You want short people. Spiritual gifts. Yeah. Equipping, training, mentoring. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? When you say calling out people's dreams, do you mean like just verbally saying it?
Yes, exactly.
Well, no, I'm asking. Hey, I like your dream. You should do it. Like, oh, thanks. So measurable goals. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like discipleship, you know, effectively, right? Like the idea of a disciple is like, yeah. Yeah, you're working with someone, collaborating in that effort. Yeah. Tough luck? I don't know what to say to that. I'm sorry? More interaction, more interactive. Define it. Okay. So more, when you say passionate, you mean people moving, or do you mean like internal passion, like someone sitting there with intense eyes? Or so you could just say it. No? Well, she's got to say it because other people can't say it for her. No, no, I appreciate. I'm with you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. 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 No, that's good. So going back to Abigail. So keep. Yeah. Yeah, we did do that before, but I think bringing that back in would be good, yeah. Anything else? There's no wrong answer, and I hope no one's getting offended by what someone else wants, right? Because in the sense of the question is, what do you want? The question becomes, what do you want? Because truth is, if a person goes, I want to go to a church that is all about, I don't know, something crazy. Incense? I don't know. Flags? We may not be it for you. I don't know. Like, so, because the question is so subjective, I say that you're representing yourself, fundamentally. Can I get one or two more? Band merch? Hoodies? Yeah. Yeah. Candy died inside. She was like, not hoodies. We don't have to be those hoodie people. I don't know. We'll leave. We show up with a coffee mug. Kayla visibly threw up. Kayla visibly, like. Cardigans. Yeah. So. I appreciate that, Micah. Because no one's listening. Yeah, marketing material. Yeah.
I think it's a little embarrassing when I end up wearing another church's shirt and then pray for somebody and then get healed. And it's like, oh, yeah, you're from that one church. And I'm like, no, sorry.
No, undercover. Fine. Matching. No, it's. So, Candy, can you tell us about some of your wants? Like, oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, you put yourself out there. you're like, I need time. Okay, would matching tattoos work for marketing material? You're hilarious. We'll work on that one. Can I get one more? One more? Oh, right, someone who hasn't spoken. That's what I'm saying. Rachel and Alicia will make a. Yeah. 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 Anything else? Did you want to? Yeah. No, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, the reason for this exercise is these are a lot of unvocalized wants in some cases, not in all. And so the format that we have isn't helping that, right? Our current function and model isn't working to accomplish any of those things, or else we would have them, right? So the plan is to close down City of Refuge and then encourage you guys to go do this somewhere else, right? How terrifying is it to go, wait, I have to do it? That makes me nervous. No, but I make that joke, but on a serious level, right? These are almost like tent poles that hold up the community in areas that would expand the things that are really in our hearts and what God is accomplishing. And I think it's all too easy for us to, and really our format isn't working, to just show up and all of those things fall silent, right? And all of those things go unrepresented, unaccomplished, unpursued, objectives not met, which only leads to sort of that feeling of like, it ain't gonna happen, right? Like, it almost leads to that sort of boring experience of like, well, if a community is really about ownership and what people can do from an effective format, then this ain't helping. What we're doing isn't doing that, right? In a lot of ways, I would argue City of Refuge is highly ineffective in doing any of those things. I think what we're somewhat good at is, like, hanging out and, like, building relationship. And I say somewhat because, like, we'll hang out next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and one day it happens. Like, but I say semi-good at that. Yeah, because people do have relationships within this context. But at the same time, that doesn't make it an effective church just because people hang out, right? You can do that anywhere, right? And what we in the past have realized, it's like, without us creating a format in which those things can be understood, pursued, and plans can be made for them, we're going to lose track of all that, and that's just not going to happen. And what we'll settle for is boredom, complacency, a lack of that progression until the day that you find someone or somewhere else that does that thing, and then you'll just go there. That would make total sense to me, you know? Someone going, oh, we wanted a thriving youth ministry and there isn't one here, so we're going to go do that. Like, that makes sense. And so, to me, my hope is to draw out those desires, bring them into the forefront, and introduce those into a format where those things can be developed, whether that's in a six-month period of time or whether it's a longer-term goal that may take more kind of working at it, that those things can be created and developed. And this may be what, me personally, I struggle with things that are ineffective. Like, I was reading this book, and the argument was, despite all the characteristics that a leader can have, despite all the things that we can go back and forth and argue, you know, a leader should be A, B, C, and D, at the end of the day, there's only really two types. There's only two characteristics, an effective leader and an ineffective leader. This person is either able to materialize this stuff or isn't. And I think that's true about all of our lives, right? Whatever ownership we take in our marriages, whatever ownership we take in our parenting, it all is based on our effectiveness. Because at the end of the day, I could give someone advice about their marriage, but if they're ineffective at communicating love, that is still the reality, right? If you are ineffective at showing up to work every week and working your full-time job, then yeah, that paycheck's going to be low. Right? Like, that's going to happen. It's a byproduct of choice and decision. And so to us, the challenge becomes, how do we take ownership as leaders for our community, and how do we take ownership as members of our community, in which all of our desires and purposes that we want to see materialize are not only possible, but really are regular aspects of churches that other places do have, right? You guys didn't name something that is like so like, I want a monster truck ministry, which I'm sure there's probably something like that somewhere, so I can't even argue that. Like, everyone said reasonable things that all can be accomplished and should be a part of this community, and that if we collaborate together and move towards those goals, we can meet those needs, we can meet those things. I don't think those are just desires that are in your heart for the sake of you guys not saying anything about it and just kind of trying to plug in into a format that doesn't work. They're there because there are things that you probably have been thinking about for a long time. You probably have even been developing minor solutions for it, going, oh, if it was me, I would do A, B, C, D, E, right? And then haven't either had the opportunity or pushed yourself to make those things happen. And so that's something that we want to change, and that's something that we want to transition. And so we began to create a platform that will facilitate those things, right? And so we said, if we, by the end of 2019, if we want to disciple people and we want to raise people up to accomplish some of these things, what are the resources needed to get us there? Like, what if I were to say that every single person in this room has a dream, and that by 2020, that thing's gonna happen, and whether they get to start it with someone and someone else takes it over, or they lead it themselves, whatever that looks like, that the fruition of that dream, what would be the steps required to get that person there, right? So that it's not just like a request of like, and I understand there's gonna be some things that you might say, hey, I would like this to happen, but I don't wanna do it personally. That, to some degree, that makes sense. But at the same time, it is sort of like, how do we get these things somewhere so that it goes beyond just concepts in our hearts and our minds? So if you can start with the first slide, that'd be super rad. And then you have to unclick output, and then yeah, press the play button. You actually don't have to drag it over. If you bring it back to your screen, yeah, there you go. You hit it anyway. Well done. So we came up with five things, right? And we sat down, we literally, like, we had multiple meetings, we pulled out this, I mean, it was actually already provided there, but we had this, like, matte whiteboard, and we just wrote and came up with, like, key concepts and kind of used different formats and resources that we found. And we came up with an action plan. We're like, here's our action plan, here's where we want to go, here's what we want to accomplish. And then we said, okay, what are five things that we can do? So we did that, then we defined those five things, and then we got to the point where we're like, this is too many things. So we're like, let's break it up into phases. Phase one, phase two, right? So our goal as Christians, right, as we're called by Jesus, is to make disciples of all nations. Can we agree with that, right? Discipleship can look differently in different formats, which is where some of these ideas and dreams come in, right? You know, whether it's passionate worship where someone being discipled can connect with God, whether it's meeting a need in the local community where a need can be met and a person can be discipled, that is the heart of why we're Christians, right? So we start there, and we recognize that that functions in two arms. One, the external community, and one in the internal. So we started with the internal and made that phase one. We said, one, we want healthy people. We want everyone. We recognize that people come from all different walks of life. Some of you guys have a great background and have no trauma. Amazing. We're going to totally use you to disciple people, right? Some of you guys are kind of messed up, you know? It's terrifying. No, I'm just totally kidding. As I look in the mirror. one tear. Just one tear. A tear tattoo. No? Okay, fine. That's fine. That was my thing that I would like to see in a community is matching tattoos, but no big deal. I just won't represent my dreams. No big deal. Smiley faces on everybody's butts. So we first started with, let's get everybody on the same page. What we define as health is someone living and walking within the callings and purposes of God, living by the fruits of the Spirit. We're not infringing on what culture. We're just saying, this is what health looks like. Then the next step of what we would define health is the idea of saying a person having the resources required to get to where they want to go, right? So that they're healthy for those viable environments. I wouldn't want to take a unprepared college-age kid to lead a youth group ministry if they feel unprepared. That would be an unhealthy decision if they're not equipped for that environment. Because they can be put in that position and then have their confidence completely undermined, right? So the health would look like, how do we disciple, train, and help support this person, supplying the things that they need so that we can maximize not only effectiveness, but their ability to succeed. Because ultimately, while shortcomings and setbacks are a normal part of life, if you experience enough of those, you'll just quit. Right? Jesus isn't sending us out into the marketplace or into the highways and byways of life to fail. That's not like that. That wasn't his point, right? The idea of ministry isn't supposed to be that it's suffering and grueling and terrible. Some things can happen, but the idea is that you're reaching success and you're reaching goals. And so we decided, all right, we're going to take healthy people. We're going to come up with resources and opportunities to just help people get through maybe traumas of the past and also equip them for the things that they need to function where they are. Healthy marriages, healthy parenting, right? Because not that someone can't struggle, but the reality is if my marriage is critical if Alicia and I's marriage are critical to each other, then ministry is going to come second. And so if something's not working, then we're going to fall back to that thing. But if we're working okay, then I can engage in that aspect because I know that this is functional, this is working. And that's what I mean by health. Health can also mean like you can hit through a season or a time where you're like, I just started school and I need to take a step back. That makes sense. It's like, oh, I'm in a healthy time in my life where I need to reprioritize. I had a friend of mine who was in ministry and his grandma got sick and he had to move to go take care of her. And he was terrified because he was like, well, what if my thing falls apart? And it's like, you're making a good decision. Like that is positive. God will not only honor that, but it shows that you have the maturity to recognize that, you know, you're not tied into just this thing. You want your life to be functional and not full of things popping off left and right. And you're trying to engage in something, but this keeps going off and that's been unaddressed. Right. So when we define it, we define spiritual and emotional health were the two things that we, and then we also said spiritual and emotional maturity too, because what we don't want is a leader that blows up the second someone asks a question. And it's like, okay, then you're not actually helping the person you're supposed to be helping, right? Like, you have a short fuse. Let's work on that, because that's bad emotional health. So the idea is maturity. Yeah, and maturity in that regard, you know, a person who's sort of seasoned in that process. Then the next one was active participation. We wanted to remove the idea of just sitting and being complacent and not doing anything. And so, and we're going to go into the next slides, but active participation is pretty self-explanatory. It's that our Saturday night service is going to be more engaging and more involved, and that we're going to find key goals to hit that are measurable, that people will be active in participating in those goals. And so, and then the last one was supernatural culture. We recognize that we don't do this by ourselves, and more often than not, when we choose to, we don't experience what God intended for it. I recognize with my personality, I will run further sometimes. And I'll use this statement, even though you can poke a lot of holes in it. I can sometimes run ahead of what God wanted for me. And then I get mad when it ain't working out. And it's like, well, you didn't leave much room. And part of that was me working with you. And I recognize that for me, I will run further than what I was asked to. And then it falls apart. And then I get mad. Versus just sticking with God's directives and going, all right, God, I can do this part. The rest is you. And then when God shows up, I feel a sense of encouragement. Oh, my God, he's real. You know what I mean? It's like suddenly that reminder of like, yeah? Yeah, he is. That's important. Like, right? We're discipling for the express purpose of connection with him, not just being mission and goal-minded, right? Like the so it's creating that space, creating that room, creating those opportunities for prayer and some of those things. And then phase two, we will roll out as we feel like we're carrying phase one, if that makes sense. Any questions before we move on to the next slide? This is the part where you get to actively participate. I'm manipulating the situation. Yeah, that's the next slide. You're trekking with me. Thank you for following with me. You're on the train. I appreciate it. I didn't figure out how to merge that cell to those two cells at the end together. So the red is phase two. Phase one is the blue. Yeah, I missed that part. So the next part is phase. And then the part after that is two. It'll be fun.
Blue is phase one.
Blue is phase one, red is phase two. It's just in two separate cells. So we're gonna have a PowerPoint team that's going to translate some of this stuff, because it's the Da Vinci Code of messages. We just didn't list phase two yet. We just wanted to know that there is something ahead of that part. So slide one, please. What was that? This is so funny. Phase one is blue. Phase two is, hold on. Comprehension is critical. Like, we do want everybody to understand. Is phase two. Correct. Yep. That's correct. Yeah, I did a bad job with the slide. I was telling Nathan that I meant to merge the two red cells to save phase two together. So it wasn't two words on two separate boxes. That was what I was referring to. But you're right, that was unclear. Yeah. So next slide. Any other questions? Dude, we did it. We made it through the first part. We're doing it. You feel that feeling? Let's work it together. Let's make lemonade, people. Not yet. Close with a cigar. If we can go to the next slide. There we go. So. Thank you, Joel. So we came up with some minor objectives in which we can try and accomplish some of these goals, right? And this is where we want your support and your help in that, right? So we want to find, to develop healthy people, we want to find proven resources that work, whether that's counseling, whether that's inner healing, whether that's discipleship resources that are out there. Part two, working together as a community to answer issues that arise. So we want to collaborate with you guys in that initiative. And that's what I mean by that. It's like, don't say nothing when an issue pops off, because you're just going to get frustrated at it. Say something, right? Come up to like, hey, I noticed this thing, you know, how can I help? Or, hey, I might know someone that can aid in that process. We recognize that the reality is that when Jesus called us to make disciples of all nations, one of the first things he did, he picked up the 12, he trained them, and then he released them, and then he utilized their feedback and their involvement. And the reality is it's all too easy for church culture to be a separation of, like, leadership and members. And it's like that, I understand the need for, like, defining who might be in charge of something. But the reality is that the separation has gone so far that we've developed this format in which you have, in best case scenario, one leader to every 10 people. In most common scenarios, It's one leader to every 50 people. So that's where you can staff a church of, like, I don't know, 1,000 people, and then have only 10 leaders. And then that person has to manage 100. Like, you're not going to get anywhere there, right? But if it's a collaborative effort, then you're going to see things grow and develop. And then lastly, taking ownership of our own struggles. So also a level of transparency. And that ownership of our own struggles could be something that, A, is a sin issue, or B, just something you're experiencing that you're like, I just need help in this arena. And again, when we say this, it's not that that participation isn't just, hey, here's a problem, good luck. It's helping you walk through that problem and utilizing support from one another in that process. Active participation, encouraging participation, so that is developing a model in which it's not that a leader does something, is that they build a team together to accomplish that thing so that people can be a part of the answer and not just like they came up with that solution. So if, for example, Jason says, I think it'd be helpful to have marketing resources that we can hand out to people, then we can collaborate with Jason. Hey, can you help us find those things so it fits the model that you're looking for? That we're not just going, here's the thing we came up with, here you go. He's going to have a better idea of the types of questions that the people he's connecting with are have, right? He's going to be that person at the front line. The worship leader, the people who are encouraging worship, are going to have a better perspective of what they would like to see happen. So rather than us answering that question, well, here's how you do it, it's more of a collaborative effort of like, hey, let's sit together and resolve that issue and come up with a plan. Active discipleship. We literally mean active discipleship. We really want to transition into people connecting and developing a discipleship relationship. Whether that's you and someone in this room or you and someone outside that room, we really do want people to be connected. You guys are incredible. Like, I get to hang out with you guys, maybe more than some of you guys hang out with each other. And there are times I'm like, how are you not picking somebody else up and giving what you have? There's a whole world out there. Like, for those who are prepared to disciple others, like, it's like, you've got it, man. Like, do the thing. Like, really. Like, it ain't going to happen. It's like, you want to heal the sick, but you don't want to go to the hospital, right? So it's just sort of like, I'm just going to sit here versus like, no, man. Like, you got to do it. Engage. And I think there's a life that begins to grow in you when suddenly you're leading something or you're walking someone through something and you're like, man, like, it works. And I feel better about what I carry. And now God's adding to what I have. Collaborating as a group on different initiatives, we talked about that. Developing and then under supernatural culture, developing and gathering to meet and seek out the supernatural. So again, some of these things are highly under construction. We recognize that we have limited resources, so any feedback you guys have would be much needed. We look for other ministries and other places that have had successes in some areas, and we go, hey man, like, what do we need to do, right? And sometimes it's a simple answer. You want to evangelize? Go evangelize, right? And sometimes it's a little bit more complex. It's like, hey, we felt like this course helped us get our minds to wrap around the concept and develop activities that kind of encourage some of that. Designated times during service where we pray and make room for God. That is literally ministry times that you guys have seen. We don't just want to declare a concept or an encouragement. We want to pray with people who are struggling with that. And then connect with ministries that have had success. I already said that. Any questions about this slide? For real? All right, let's go home. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So each section has designated leaders and support people. We say that because these are the people who have made the decision to say we want to take ownership of this area. No. No. What we said is we don't want to just go, healthy people, good luck, right? We wanted to go, okay, who's going to lead that for now? Like, who's going to be responsible and own in developing and creating a team that will do that? That doesn't mean that all responsibilities will fall on these one or two people. It just means that they're in charge of facilitating it, and they're the people you can go if you want to say, hey, I want to do this thing, let's make that happen, and then you can collaborate with that person. And that doesn't mean you can't work with someone outside of that, but we just realized you need a point person. That is one of the things that we realized we struggled in 2018 with our community, is we went from having a point person where some things were done and to having a lot of people who had their hands in the pot. And what often ended up happening is that people didn't accomplish stuff because it was like, well, we thought you were going to do it, or we thought, you know what I mean? Where if you have a designated person, like if you know Alicia's a worship leader, then you might know, hey, if I have an idea, I know I can talk to this person. Versus if you come to me, I'm literally just going to point to her. or Abigail or Caleb or Nathan, like I'm not. Then we want each sort of pillar to have support people. In this particular case, this category can certainly grow, and then people can move up into the leadership position for sure. For now, Dave and Chris offered to help with Bible study as being a place where some materials can be dispensed. And then Dave offered to provide resources, to research some of the resources that are out there for that. Every section has a goal. Look at that. We got a goal, yo. And then objectives that will get us closer to that goal. The objective section will grow because we might discover some things don't work, right? You guys might go, this one would sound stupid. Creating room for people to address struggles sucks. I want to do something else. I don't want people to address their issues, right? But the idea is like a person could say like, hey, I don't know that we're getting to where we need to go with this objective. Here's what I suggest we do, right? So the idea of the objectives is they get us closer to goals, but those objectives can change and transform, and new goals can be created. And our measurement of healthy people would be defined by, are people being discipled through inner healing, and are they developing emotional and spiritual growth? That could be defined, do people seem to be able to manage their own issues and be able to manage the ministries that they're a part of well? Awesome, we're there. There hasn't been a ton of disputes. No one hates each other. Like, no one's bitter. Like, people seem to be pretty effective at the things that they're doing. All right, we've been creating healthy people. Those are ways that we can measure that we're getting there, that we're arriving at that place. Next one. Any questions about that slide? Let me slow down. Support people through transition. So creating a team of people that can help someone who's going through a more, it doesn't necessarily have to be a struggle. It could be like, in a lot of ways, it could just simply become like, we're newly married and we need someone to like counsel us in our marriage. Like, yeah. And then create us, yeah. Anything else? Three, create a support for those doing ministry in our community. So we recognize that there should be a support for someone who is functioning in ministry because it can feel lonely and you do need help. And so again, we're not addressing just struggles. We can address issues of transition in life and then issues of position. Like, hey, I'm in this position to be responsible for this group of people and I don't know what the hell I'm doing, right? Rather than carrying that one alone, you can have a support team for that. So we've defined ministry very loosely, and I am in some ways okay with that. It doesn't have to be an adopted ministry within our group. It can be something you do somewhere else, because that's sort of the point, is that we engage with the world around us. So yeah, that those relationships and that there are groups that kind of people can discuss processes and things that they've utilized. Any other questions? Part two. Hey, look, Rachel and Alicia have a lot of work to do. And these are just examples. I really do hope that you guys will see some stuff here that you're like, hey, I want to be a part of that one. Or you can help us come up with some new ones to make the supernatural a regular part of our community. If all of a sudden you're seeing that God is moving and doing stuff and lives are being changed, we're meeting that goal. Like, you know what I mean? We can measure that, you know. Create space to connect with God and experience the supernatural. Those are the ministry times, as well as just a regular part of our culture. Share testimonies about those experiences. We do recognize that someone sharing about something that happened in their lives is going to spark further interest. Like, I recognize when I hear someone have an experience, I'm like, dude, I want to do that. So we want that to be a little bit regular. I was talking to someone while I typed this, so I'm really sorry about the typos and the sentences that don't make sense. Someone was talking to me, and I was like, oh, yeah. You know, and then I went back, and I'm like, what did I write? Yeah.
I feel like that's just the outside. Like, causing people outside of this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Any questions about this slide before we go to the last one? Or the second to last one? Any feedback you guys have, please say something. These aren't static. These aren't like, we just figured these are good early steps to get us where we want to go. And so there is room as you guys participate for that feedback to be involved and included and for you guys to be involved in some of these missions and these directives in utilizing whatever skill set you guys have. Jason's unsure. He's like, I don't like the supernatural. Okay. And then we can always talk afterwards, too. And then the last slide. So, I'm a hero. I don't need nobody. I appreciate it. You should have. You have my back, Veronica. Help me. Help me. No. So I purposely wrote it this way to be funny, but I wanted to create space. So this was the part that I was excited about, that I was like, hey, I do enjoy formats and kind of measuring things and using metric systems to define things. And when I say support, like, I think you guys will be the support in that regard. And I do mean that, because I think ultimately you guys letting me know, or us sitting and sharing, hey, this thing isn't working. Like, it's not getting to where you want it to be. We don't want it to just be a message every week. We want questions to be asked. That's why we want to use a Socratic-based resource. So basically what that means is, like, we want people utilizing critical thinking. Like, hey, what do you think about this issue? We want there to be cooperative arguments, as in, like, people can say, that sounds dumb. I don't get why you would think that or feel that way. And that we can create space for those conversations to be held in a mature fashion, so that way we can answer very real issues and very real problems. That there is feedback and questions being asked. That there are, like, that's the idea of something being Socratic. It's the idea of, it's based on sort of the format in which Socrates taught a lot of his philosophy. He had a group of people, and he would share this information, and they would go back and forth about it. So our services are going to have parts of it where we ask questions and ask for you guys to give feedback, or ask for you guys, we might break up into groups or anything like that. It's not just because we want to make you guys uncomfortable. We don't want to be bored and just listen to one person do all the legwork. We recognize that it's helpful that you guys are carrying something that is needed in this community, and having you guys kind of give feedback into that. So a lot of the messages are going to be created with times of communication and questions and people saying things. We notice that that tends to happen spontaneously. We're at the end of a service, people are going back and forth. And we're like, why not make that a part of it? So that way we're getting somewhere and people can get real answers answered. I notice when I ask the question, what do you guys want? Abigail was struggling to say something, and very immediately Veronica and Nathan added to it. And then Abigail was like, well, that gave me voice to what I meant. Or Rachel said something and Alicia felt like that. We want to create those experiences, because then you discover someone is like-minded with as you and will work with you in that effort. Does that make sense? We want to create teams as we come up with different initiatives, whether that's an outreach or something we're doing here. We don't want people to go by themselves. This active participation part is literally entrenched with the other two pillars, with the other two portions, so that the hope is, as one thing wins, the other things win, and one thing fails, the other things fail. If we are not healthy and emotionally and spiritually mature, then when we're participating in active participation, you're going to notice it. He got pissed. Like, something's not right. So it is. You're going to feel it, right? I remember one time I was standing up here, and two of my friends who had a baby out of wedlock, which is such a weird phrase, baby out of wedlock. Anyway, so they were sitting right over there, and we were talking about sin or something, and then someone was in the back, and they said, I don't believe in sin. And suddenly, like, the room started, like, dividing up into who thought what. And I remember I didn't even have to talk because suddenly everybody else was kind of, you know, saying stuff. And I found it so fascinating that the couple that had the baby were like, we had a baby outside, you know, like outside of marriage, and we recognized we shouldn't have been engaging in sexual sin. And they had, like, outright said it, like, they put it out there. And they're like, and we still believe that this is it, right? And I'm going, fascinating that they would, you know, have that. And I noticed that I was like, suddenly in those engaging moments, people were defining the nitty and the gritty of those things and offering fresh perspective that are missed. And I remember sitting there going, and people thought that I was offended, which I get that that person was coming at me, but, like, I was so shocked by the room kind of going off that I was like, oh, I guess he was mad. I'm like, this is crazy. This is chaos. Like, it's more than I hoped for. Like, it's Christmas in July. Raise up disciples to disciple others. We, as stated before, we literally want to do that. We're asking you guys who are interested in discipleship relationship, we're going to challenge you guys to get into discipleship relationships because we hope that by the end of the year, it grows. Not just our community grows, but like more people are involved in this process. And that then doors begin to open, you know. If all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to pick on you guys, and because Caleb looked at me, locked eyes, and shook his head. He's like, don't you do it. I swear, if you use me one of your dumb examples again. If something, you know, arises in their heart that they're like, hey, we want to work with this group, or we have this idea outside of our community, that we can help support those discipleship relationships that might develop there. So this is inside our community and outside of it. I want, for those of you married, you should be discipling your spouses. For those of you with kids, you should be discipling your kids. With those of you, like, those are very real, because when you create space for that, when you are active, then you might find out that your participation in the room you make for God does change lives, right? Like, that's what we believe, is it? Right? And we want that to be moved beyond cognitive dissonance where someone's just like, well, I say that, but I don't actually live that way, to like, well, we should, because those are the missions that we see accomplished. Last two questions, and then. Yeah, so we actually found some resources that walk through those steps that, and we're looking at a couple. One of them is actually like a worksheet that gets handed out, and you work through it through the message, and then you have discussion points. So we are actually looking at things that are pre-formatted and not just stuff that we're making up. So we're going to collaborate those two things. And yeah. Travis? Right. No, you're fine. Like I said before, what we did before isn't functional, right? So I think ultimately, in the case of someone says, hey, I want to do this thing, then an ideal format would be, let's sit down, let's identify people who are doing it, and let's together reach out to those people and see if they can offer support if it isn't something that we don't already have, right? So it's sort of like, I wouldn't say to Jason, go find marketing material. I would go, hey, Jason, here's someone I know that prints marketing material and knows something about it. Let's sit down with that person to make that happen. So that there is a handoff, not just like a good luck, right? Yeah. And the hope is that with more people participating, that is a much more viable solution than if it's the same one or two people that are answering all those questions, kind of thing. Yeah.
You mentioned cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. Oh, cognitive dissonance, and I mean, I could look it up, but effectively it means sort of like when there's a skip in what you believe, or consistency in what you believe or in what you do. So if someone says, like, I believe in raising godly children, and they're being a total douche to their kids, you're like, there's a separation between what you believe and what you actually, there's an inconsistency. And culturally, we do that a lot. We say, I'm going to throw a bomb in the room right now. We believe in pro-life, but what we mean often is we're anti-abortion. That's what we mean. Because if someone were to tell me pro-life, I would think life. Then, like, there's tons of parts of life that you're pro. You know, like, you know, I would imagine that that's what you mean by that statement. Versus it's like, and where the cognitive dissonance, some people would argue, is, hey, you're addressing one thing, but there's tons of other things that all play a critical role to what you're arguing. So, like, there a cognitive dissonance would be, where's that separation, and how can you better improve that, right? So if we say we're Christian, you know, so on and so forth, and we recognize there's just a lot of inconsistency in all of our lives. We're very good at doing one or two things, either never doing any of the big stuff, but doing all the little things and passing life that way, or doing only the big things and never the little things. And then it's like, well, then you're only dependable when something big happens, but not in everyday life. Like, we want to bridge that gap. And then the last slide. Over the next 3 weeks, we are going to talk about our first three sort of discussion points or tackling subjects are going to be getting our hearts on the same page. When we use these terminology, what are we asking of you guys? What are we asking you guys to kind of participate in? Addressing issues like ego, humility, things like that. Getting, again, your involvement in that. Some formats that we can operate as a team, how we're going to be making some of this stuff happen, some key ideas of like, hey, here's how, if we're going to launch a ministry, here's how we would like to do it. And again, your involvement and feedback in that process. And then the last week is how we plan on moving forward as those things are happening, how we're going to manage that. Hey, we've got some teams going. We've got some things that are working. How do we keep that stabilized and doing well? So that'll be the next 3 weeks. Rachel, Dave, and Chris will be covering those topics. And then, what was that? Maybe not necessarily in this particular order. Yeah.
Just to clarify, so those things are going to be the
next,
topic of our...
Next 3 Saturdays. Service? Next 3 Saturdays, yeah.
Okay, so we're not going to have a normal preaching schedule. It's going to be a meeting.
No, it's
going to
be...
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll still be someone talking about that topic and introducing ideas and goals, and then you guys active in that process. Hey, when, you know, like someone up here might say, I have it in my notes. Jason was asking what's next, the next couple Saturdays going to look like.
My specific, and I'll be really direct.
Yeah. A training schedule?
But to me, that seems like that's a class that needs to occur. People like need to get that information. Maybe a short message and followed by that. But I don't think both being the same or one being in one place or the other.
Yeah. And discussion in that process. Because when you think about it, we're going to create a separate class to have the very same people in this room to accomplish that very same thing we're trying to do on Saturday. Does that make sense? It's like, well, isn't that what Saturday is? You know what I mean? Like, we're recreating, copying and pasting the meeting. So it's like the express purpose of Saturday is like, hey, let's get everybody on the same page. That is the unique aspect of Saturday nights. We have all scheduled to be here. You know what I mean? So now that you're all here, let's work on what we're trying to accomplish. And part of that will be dispensing of information and also discussing and working through that information, if that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's all too easy for us to believe when we read scripture that it was like Jesus talking on a mountain and, all right, good luck, guys, bye, because that's what we're used to. Versus there was more like, there's a person that now needs to get healed. Okay, you pray for this person, right? Like there was more involvement in that process. And so. All right, cool, man. So we are way past 8:10, but you guys had some great questions and some great feedback that was absolutely awesome. We're trying to keep our service condensed so we can honor the going out to eat afterwards, but we recognize that as we introduce some of these ideas, it's going to affect children's ministry. So we love the feedback and want to encourage that, but we're going to find a way, starting on time, maybe we shorten some other things about our service to try to maximize people's feedback and involvement. So, word. Email me any issues, complaints, whatever, and I'll throw them away and put them in my spam folder. Let's get together and let's kind of discuss further. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your body. We thank you for each person in here. We just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to expand on dreams, releasing vision, direction, callings, that you would add courage to the people that are in this room for the things that you have put in their heart and for the areas that you're asking them to like set something on the back burner, that you would give them the peace for that. In Jesus' name, amen.